do you think that there's a temptation to say, look, I've already, I posted this on my story, I posted it on my Snapchat, like, look, I'm done, I've already supported the movement, versus the real life sort of canvassing, the protesting that actually makes the difference?
Like, you shouldn't go onto social media and, you know, follow everyone from your school because you want to compare yourself to them, or you want to compare yourself to a celebrity, or you want to, like, fit the...
They are extremely skinny, and they try to eat. They try to eat, you know, to get more muscular, and they can't. They won't gain any weight at all. So I talk to them, and they will literally be eating, like, you know, 12 eggs a day. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Camden Podcast with your host here, Carter Freud. Today, I have probably one of the most exciting interviewees I've had on my show so far. I mean, I've said this before on a lot of episodes, but bear with me. I think this episode has the potential to be one of the most powerful ones we've recorded thus far. And so, it's the last episode, but not the least. I want to introduce my good friend, Kathy Milligan. Kathy, why don't you unmute your mic?
Hello, my name is Kathy.
Thank you so much. So, first question, right? So, think of your life, right, as a linear line. You know, you've had your life building up since a childhood, and then you have like a million of choices spread out before in front of you. What do you want out of your life, like right now? What do you want, you know, in your future, like dreams, ambitions? What do you want?
Right now, I'm on the, I'd say, like, the path, like, what I've set up for myself to become a surgeon, because that's really what I want to do from, like, with my life, career-wise, at least. Other than that, I feel like I don't really have any other aspirations. Like, that's kind of my main goal, is to become a surgeon. That's kind of what I want to do. As for, like, personal goals, I feel like I don't really have much. Regarding, like, friends or family or things like that. I'd say, like, my ultimate purpose would be, like, to be content with myself and be content with, like, my life. So if I'm ever at a point where I don't feel that I'm on the right path to becoming what I want to be, then I can always change that. And, so right now, as of now, I'm on the path to become a surgeon career-wise. So, yeah.
Have you always wanted to be a surgeon? Because I see a lot of people who go on the medical route, and it seems to me that some of them, you know, they're railroaded onto it by their parents. They're like, you know, you got to do this. You got to make your family proud. But is that really the case with you, or is it more of a passion thing?
I'd say it's more of a passion thing. Like, my parents, both my parents, they did push me to, you know, do really well in school, because my mom, she was on her own with the whole college experience, and she lived in a really poor neighborhood growing up, so she didn't really have as many opportunities as I have. And she, you know, after 2 years of college, she had to drop out because she couldn't pay for it. So she's always kind of pushed, like she wants us to go to college, but she wants us to do what we want to do. And my dad, kind of the same thing happened. I mean, he eventually got his degree, but it was like, you know, after he had a family. And so they're kind of, goal for me was just to, like, make sure that what I wanted to do was, like, the path that I was on. So, like, in eighth grade, that was really the time when I was like, oh, okay, so what I want to do is be in the medical field. And then in 10th grade, we had a cardiothoracic surgeon visit our school for a certain club, and which is what I wanted to do, be cardiothoracic surgeon. And then after that doctor talked about his experience and, like, what he does on a day-to-day basis, that really kind of hooked me into, I was already looking at surgery, I just didn't know, you know, what kind of specific surgeon that would be. And then after that talk, it was kind of that. But my parents have always been kind of supportive of whatever I wanted to do. I'm also really into art. So, you know, in, like, seventh grade, that was, like, my thing, was I wanted to go to school for art and, like, do something with that. And then as, you know, time went on, it just switched for me. And, you know, they've always been supportive. They have never felt that I've had to become something that I didn't want to be. It was always, like, a good support system around me. They just kind of pushed me to do the best that I could do, really. It wasn't really, like, a specific route they wanted me to take.
Would you call yourself an overachiever, that you achieve, you know, relatively more than the average high schooler? I'm not telling you to brag, but, like, would you put yourself in that?
I think so. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm, like, you know, I achieve more than the average high school student. Like, I think everyone achieves what they want in their own, like, kind of bubble. Like, whatever they want to do. Like, everyone has specific, like, personal achievements that they obviously, you know, achieve and eventually reach. And I mean, for myself, for my goals, I have achieved all my goals, but I guess in comparison to, like, with you know quote unquote the average high school student, I think, I mean, at least at our school, I think I definitely strive to reach high goals that I've set for myself.
So one common pattern I see with, you know, overachievers are, you don't call yourself an overachiever, but like high achieving or high goal setting people, is that they often carry the weight of other people's expectations on them. And you clarified, you know, that your parents always been supportive, but do you ever feel that you have a responsibility to, like, make them proud, to do them right? Or do you really feel like that's not something you consider when you're going out and, like, you're spending hours studying, you're spending hours doing this, doing that?
I mean, there is a degree of pressure, I feel like, for everyone to do well. But I feel like, especially when you're taking the route that's, like, you want to be, you know, top in your class, and you want to take all the AP classes, and you want to do all the programs that you find, and you're like actively seeking opportunities. I think that there's definitely a pressure that comes with that. It's not like pushed on you. I think it's just there. Like, there's no escaping it. But I mean, also, I mean, my sister was like, she's the smartest person I know. So there definitely is, like, a pressure just from how well she did. There is just, like, this, like, again, like, a pressure that's just there. But I think that also comes with, you know, the path that I want to be on. But I don't think there's any, like, pressure, like, from my peers to, you know, be better than what I'm doing. I feel like it's mostly from myself and my environment, but I think mostly, like, in my head, to be honest with you. Because, like, even the pressure that's in my environment, anyone else can be like, oh, okay, well, you know, my sibling did super well in school. I mean, that doesn't mean I have to do super well, but, like, I feel like with me, I take that very, like, personally. Like, I just, like, I admire my sister a lot, so I think maybe it also has something to do with it. But other than that, I don't even know if I answered the question right. I'm just, like, going off on a rant.
No, that's, the questions are meant to be starting points for discussion, and I think that's exactly what you did. So, another question. What's your opinion of high school as an institution? Do you think it helps you achieve your goals? Or what aspects of high school do you dislike? Just in general, what's your opinion of it?
I love high school, honestly. Especially, I mean, our school specifically, I think, is a really great school. I mean, the experience a lot of people complain about school, and I totally get that. But, like, at the end of the day, high school is probably, like, one of the best. I know it's, like, so corny and cheesy. But I think it really is, like, a really good experience to have, because not only do you have, like, social skills, I feel like it's, like, the age when everyone kind of grows up, and, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like everyone's just kind of growing up, and everyone's kind of, like, entering that stage in their lives where they're like, oh, so, like, you know, we're all just, like, not to be, like, a downer, but we're all just kind of, like, we're all eventually gonna have, like, that same fate at the end of the day. So we're all just kind of, like, chilling, you know, good vibes only. But I think high school really, like, especially, like, compared to middle school was very, like, everyone was in their own world, and, like, it was an environment that was very, like, controlled and
Stifling.
Yeah, exactly. It was so, like, everyone, like, had this vision of, like, what people should be, and I feel like with high school, it's not like that at all. Like, everyone just kind of, I mean, everyone just trying to do the best they can, have a good time. Like, I feel like no one really cares about, like, you know, the stigmatisms of, like, everyday life. And that's what I really love about high school is, like, everyone's pushing you to reach your goal. And, yeah, it's just, like, a really good environment. I really like it.
Okay. I think that's an interesting perspective because I feel like 50% of the people who come on this show, they're like, you know, I hate high school. So having the opinion of somebody who actually really loves it, I think that's really refreshing. So a little bit of a topic transition, but one of the main things I wanted to talk about, Instagram and Snapchat, right? You know, social media. I think that's an integral part of the teenage experience and especially the high school experience. So what do you think about them as platforms, as tools?
I think they can be beneficial if you use it the right way. Like, I think a lot of people use Snapchat and Instagram as a way to, like, compare themselves to the adult world, which is, I think, is wrong. Like, you shouldn't go onto social media and, you know, follow everyone from your school because you want to compare yourself to them, or you want to compare yourself to a celebrity, or you want to, like, fit the profile of an average teenager. Like, I use Instagram, honestly, I don't really use Instagram that, like, I mean, I go on it, but I don't use it for, like, I follow people that I want to follow, and that's it. You know what, I think it should be very much, like, on there. Or, like, even with Snapchat, like, you shouldn't go on there and be like, oh, like, I have this many streaks, like, I need to have more streaks, or, you know, I need to add this person on Snapchat, I need to add this person. Like, it shouldn't be like that. It should be more like, do what you kind of want to do, and I think that's what its original purpose was, just to kind of be, like, a place where you can express yourself and meet new people. And I think the best way to do that is, like, when I find myself, like, following, say, like, a celebrity on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, wow, like, every single post I notice I'm saying, oh my gosh, like, I wish I looked like that, or, like, I wish blah, 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 then I usually try to unfollow them, because then I know it's just gonna be bad for me. So I think social media is good if you use it in the right ways, and you use it to, like, uplift yourself. Like, at the end of the day, you've had a really rough day, you go on, and you go onto, like, a comedy page or something, and you make yourself laugh by reading whatever. Like, it shouldn't be used to, like, brag or, like, put other people down. And if you find yourself, like, doing that, I think you should, like, control that, kind of, like, but, you know, just by, like, unfollowing people, or, like, not, like, if someone's pressuring you to do something on social media, just to, like, not do that. So.
And I think that's a really a mature way to look at it. But, like, also, what do you think draws people to you know, dive, I guess, headfirst into insecurity on, like, Snapchat and Instagram to, like, you know, always flex, you know, to show themselves having fun, when in reality they're depressed? Like, I can't tell you how many of my friends who they're always posting on Instagram, it's like, you know, having fun, going to this party, and I ask them and they're like, you know, I hate my life. So what would you say, what do you think is the cause of that? Where do you think that pressure comes from?
I think it's just when you see other people doing it. Like what I said before, when I, like, I'm following someone, I'm starting to compare myself to them, that's when you need to control yourself and be like, okay, let me not follow them. Because, you know, you're not going to follow someone and then post completely different stuff, or, like, be completely different from them. Like, you're obviously going to somewhat conform to what, you know, whatever they portray online. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know what you mean.
I'm sure some of their friends are posting about parties and stuff. So they're like, oh, my friends are posting about parties. I need to post about parties, or I need to eat these parties. And people get, like, FOMO from, like, doing, from, like, seeing that on there. And I think what they need to do is just kind of not, like, think about it that, like, I mean, if you are that upset with your life and you're finding solace in posting about a party, or maybe not solace in posting about a party, like, I don't know, I just think there's a certain degree of, like, self-control people should have before they go on social media and things like that. And, like, when I first was on social media when I was in, like, ninth, like, my parents made me wait until I was in, like, ninth grade to go on social media, and I think that was, like, extremely wise, because by the time I was in ninth grade, and, like, everyone had already gone into, like, those, you know, ways of Instagram or whatever, I feel like I didn't really fit in with that, and I think that was kind of a good thing. Like, even though I was annoyed by it, I think it was kind of a good thing, because now I don't see Instagram the way other people see Instagram, and I think maybe that's where they get that, like, hatred for, you know, themselves or them or their lives, because they see, like, everyone else doing this one specific thing, and they think they need to do that, when in reality they don't. And it just comes down to, like, self-control and knowing what you need to do for yourself in a positive way. So.
Yeah. So, for social media, you're basically saying, like, you know, this was, like, always the case for you. There wasn't a period where you were really a victim of that kind of mentality because you came to it so late.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting interesting way to look at it. So another thing I want to talk about with Instagram, social media, is its use as a tool, you know, the, like, activism. You know, people use it to share important information about what's happening in the world, and that's supposed to be one of the most positive uses of it. But one thing I want to ask you, right, is do you think it's actually effective at solving anything?
Oh, I definitely think so. Like, for sure. I think without Instagram, or, you know, social media in general, or just, like, the use of, like, just, like, an iPhone, like, even if you don't have social media, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, like, I'm sure you are missing out on a lot, you know, like, culturally, I think social media has become more of, like, a culture thing. It's not really, like, a, like, media. It's more, like, culture, I feel like, now, because, you know, people connect through social media, just, like, how they connect through culture. But, I mean, I think it does play a role, like, a huge role in our world today, like I said, with culture and everything. And especially, like, what you said with, like, activism and stuff, I think social media is extremely important for getting stuff, just because it's so, like, commonly used. Like, I'm sure half the stuff I know now, just about the world and the news, I would not know if it wasn't for social media. Like, a lot of the news channels I subscribe to on Snapchat are, like, news about things that I want to know, or, like, current events. And I think without social media, you wouldn't have that same, like, dynamic of, like, finding out this information. Just because, like, teenagers aren't going to watch the news. Like, I'm sure even, like, before social media existed, like, teenagers weren't really into the news, I feel like. And I think social media is super important for that. Just, like, getting out information, mostly. And then, for activism, most of the stuff on, like, change.org, or, like, petitions that I see, or, like, organizations that donate and things like that, I find out through social media. So, in a way, I think social media is, like, extremely important to that extent, and, like, connecting people and, you know, finding, like, a positive outcome for a bad situation or something like that.
Yeah, I think that 99% of people would agree that social media informs so many people. But one argument that I would make, and one challenge I would make, is that you see real-life activism, like, you know, in the streets, like marches and that. You've seen that on the decline lately since the advent of social media. Do you think that there's a temptation to say, look, I've already I posted this on my story. I posted it on my Snapchat. Like, look, I'm done. I've already supported the movement. Versus the real life sort of canvassing, the protesting that actually makes the difference.
I wouldn't necessarily agree that protesting has declined. Like, I think social media brings people together. Like, based on, like I said, like, the news channels and stuff I subscribe to, I feel like protesting and, like, rallies and things like that have actually gotten bigger through social media. Like, the Women's March in New York, I'm sure, was at its highest, like, amount of people that it's had in the past couple of years than ever before. So I don't think protesting is on a decline. I mean, maybe it is. I mean, I don't know the facts, but I just find that interesting. Like, I would have thought that it'd be, like, more common than before. But maybe because it's so common, like, people don't realize, like, in the past, like, there's like, less or whatever, like, those few are gonna be very monumental and, like, memorable, whereas, like, the millions that are happening today aren't going to be as much. And what was the other part of that question?
I was just saying that, with, you know, the temptation to, you know, post on your Instagram, post and say, and just say, like, I'm done. Like, for example, like, you see it at our high school, like, you see the big walkout, right? Remember that a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
That was, I don't think it's a big statement to say that it didn't accomplish anything. And I remember building up to that, there were so many posts about gun violence. There were so many posts about gun control. You know, people thought they were really making a difference. Whereas the case of an actual walkout, I think it was just co-opted by students to get out of their classes.
I don't agree with that, like, at all.
Ooh.
I think
that's what we want to hear.
Even though the walkout was, I mean, I agree that it really didn't accomplish anything in a larger scale. Like, if you look at, you know, high schools across the nation doing walkouts, like, which one made, like, none of them made a difference. None of them. But the fact that there are so many walkouts made a difference. It also made a difference in people that did the actual walkout. I think, like, I'm sure, like, after I did the walkout, I felt incredibly connected to, like, my peers and my environment as a high schooler, as a teenager. I felt content in that I had accomplished something for my own opinion. Like, I felt like if I had not done the walkout, I think I would have felt worse than had I done the walkout. And even though it didn't directly make a difference in my community, I think when all that stuff kind of adds up, people come to realize, like, okay, like, this is an important thing that a lot of people feel this way. So although it didn't directly make a difference, I think things like that, like posting on social media, just getting the word out, or, like, having people feel that they have done something or are more interested in learning more about a certain thing just because, like, they see it on social media or they hear people talking about it in school, I think that makes a difference, which is more important than, like, the direct, like, effect that it might not have had.
Okay. That is so interesting. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people about that. I don't think I've ever really heard that perspective. So I want to thank you for challenging me on that. Another topic, and we're kind of looping back to, like, the Instagram thing, but let's talk about body image. Let's talk about body image and high schoolers. Do you believe that body image is really an issue for high school students?
Definitely. I think that also goes to social media too, which is, like, why I stop myself from following people that I keep comparing myself to. And again, that's, like, the whole thing I've talked about before with self-control. Like, body image is very directly related to how connected we are as a society today. I think especially, like, the amount of pressure is on people just to, like, you know, look a certain way, and, like, the fact that so many people have access to changing the way that they look now, I think also has to do with it. Like, if you look at, I'm sure any, so even, like, models who traditionally aren't supposed to have plastic surgery, like Kendall Jenner and Hailey Baldwin, they have plastic surgery, and I think people don't recognize that. And again, like, the whole social media thing, like, body image in high school is very, I feel like, amplified now just because of our society's pressure on looking a certain way or, like, acting a certain way. And then the fragility of teenagers and, like, their self-control, again, is just insane. And I think when we open teenagers up who aren't ready to, like, experience an opposite, like, example of a, you know, a body image or whatever, I think it's dangerous because they're going to take that into consideration when how they, when they evaluate how they feel about themselves. And I think teenagers are already fragile as it is. And then when you introduce something such as, like, body image, I think it's really dangerous because, you know, you've heard of, like, the thousands of cases of eating disorders or suicides or depression rates. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that teenagers might not be ready to, how do I word this? To just be able to, like, look at someone and be like, okay, they look like that, but I look like this, and I don't need to look like them to be happy with myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I understand that. Has anyone or anyone close to you suffered with eating disorders? Do you have any stories that you can share?
I mean, I know one of my close friends has had an eating, I mean, I don't know the specifics. I know that she's had an eating disorder. And quite frankly, I think it's just because she compared herself to people that she is not like at all. Like, if I were to compare myself, I'm a relatively short person. If I were to compare myself to someone super tall, like, that's just unreasonable. Like, I can't compare how I look to someone that's super tall because obviously our bodies are built differently, and the way that, you know, fat is on your body or muscle is on your body is different pertaining to every, you know, height or whatever it may be. And I think that was her problem. I think which is, like, a lot of other people's problems is they don't realize how different people are. And then they look at these other people that, you know, aren't built like them at all, and then they want to look like that, and they physically cannot look like that and be healthy at the same time. But I mean, other than that, I don't really know the specifics, but I think that was kind of her problem, was that she was comparing herself to people that she, like, her body just wasn't like. So I mean, she recovered from it, so, you know, that's good. But
yeah, it's a wonderful thing. Yeah, so do you believe that fundamentally that body image issues, do you think they're different for guys and girls?
Yeah, I think well, what do you mean specifically? Like,
well, what I'm saying is that you often don't hear a lot of cases of eating disorders and social media comparison for guys, and I'm not here trying to say that that's not true, but I want to know from your perspective, do you think that if there's a difference in the severity of it for guys and girls?
Yeah, I think so. I think with guys, like, compared to girls, just the, you know, ideal body image for each gender is insanely different. Like, for a guy, it's to, you know, be tall and muscular, and to be tall and muscular, you're obviously going to be healthy at the end of the day. Like, you're not going to work out that much and then not be healthy. Unless you're just, like, not eating. But I feel like that wouldn't fuel the male body type because, you know, in order to, like, get muscles, you need to eat and, you know, whatever. But with girls, just the fact that the ideal body type is different contributes to the amount of problems we have as a society when it comes to, like, eating disorders. Like, a girl's ideal body type is just to be skinny. Like, that's pretty much it, I feel like, is to be skinny or to have a good figure. all of which comes down to, like, losing weight. And I think with guys, it's just because that's the opposite. It's, like, gaining weight and gaining muscle. Like, if you want to reach the male ideal body type, you're going to have to work out and eat healthy. Like, to reach a girl's, you should work out and eat healthy. But you can also not eat and still get to that point, although it's unhealthy.
Yeah, and one thing that's interesting about this is that this is something that I can actually share a guy's perspective, because I have so many friends who, they are extremely skinny, and they try to eat, you know, to get more muscular, and they can't. They won't gain any weight at all. So I talk to them, and they'll literally be eating, like, you know, 12 eggs a day. They'll be hitting the gym all the time, and they won't be gaining any weight, and it's one of the most... They don't show it because there's a humongous, I think there's a humongous pressure on guys, but they feel an immense pressure to gain this weight. And I don't think it's exactly the same for guys and girls, but I wanted to share, I think, an analog to it, because it's definitely real for teenagers all across the spectrum. And so one more question, right? So if you could say one thing, you know, to all the guys and girls out there listening, you know, what would it be? Just, you know, I think just message.
Just like a universal thing?
Yeah, sure. Or whatever you want.
I think it's just to be as happy with yourself as you can be, which I think, I mean, like I said at the beginning, is, like, the ultimate goal, at least for myself, and I think should be everyone's ultimate goal, is just to be, like, as happy with yourself as you can be. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really all you can come down to, whether it's working out, or eating healthy, or eating whatever you want. It honestly doesn't matter as long as you're happy. And also, I think trying to have self-control is important, because that contributes to how you're going to view yourself and how you're going to act. It comes down to, like, self-control and making the right decisions. So I'd say universal message, be positive, work on self-control, and do what you want to do. That's all life's about at the end of the day. So, yeah.
All right. So, again, I just want to thank you so much. And that, just to wrap it up, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I think that your message is probably one of the greatest ones that we've had on here, about body image, about life, about passions. So, again, thank you for coming on.
No problem.
Just a reminder that everything said on this podcast may or may not even be true. It could all be fake. It could all be satire. But what's important is that everything on here is more real than anything you'll see on TV or Netflix. I want to thank you guys so much for listening once again, and be sure to submit your own stories anonymously to CamdenPodcastingClub@gmail.com. where I will read them in bonus episodes. In addition, if you know anyone who would love to be on the podcast who has their own high school stories, again, email at the Camden Podcasting Club email.